charged with oversight in this legislation, and both within our laws and in terms of carrying out good public purpose. That's why we have been holding the hearings. We recognize that HB 4596 is not going to be the vehicle, but the majority of hearings that have taken place have gone before this committee. So we are building up the body of information, and it will be, I think, cut down some of the time that the special committee is going to have to deal with this. Representative Finkelstein will, I'm pretty sure, be on the special committee, and certainly I will have a continuing interest in it. So what we're doing right here now is we're going to hold the legislation in committee. Just to pass it out, to simply pass it out would serve no purpose since the committee is already there, but we are the only one that's been holding hearings on it. So what I would like to have you do is, Michael, do you have a fax number at your office that Mr. Grant could fax this information to you so it could get on to you in Albuquerque?
Yes, if they can fax it to my office will fax it to me. And our number is 213-827-1864. 213-827-1864.
All right, good. Well, what we will do as soon as ACLU has its comments, and I'm going to... Don't hesitate to use the fax machine here in the office so we can have this information flow go back and forth. And with that, Mr. Grant, what I would recommend is that you submit it this afternoon. We will recess and come back this afternoon in order to have APOC also submit a similar paper on it. Carla Forsyth testified before, but she indicated that she was going to come down. So what I'm going to do is recess, and then we'll come back at a time specific this afternoon. But in the meantime, we've got a half hour that Mr. Josephson would be online, and it might be well for him to hear what you have to say, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Have a question?
Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, Mr. Grant, did you get a copy of the commentary and guidelines as well?
Yes, sir, we have that, and I have to say that the comments that we're drafting are being done by our executive director, Jamie Bollenbach, and I have some of them here in sort of disorganized, some of them in my office in sort of a disorganized form. He's going to be finalizing those today, and I think by the end of the day they would be in shape to fax them down to you, and so that's what I plan to do, if that's okay.
Sorry, I only raised the issue of the commentary because I read some of the preliminary comments, which I think are excellent. I mean, they're well taken. I want you to know that. I'm not averse to them, but I think, at least in many cases, and you may not find it's enough, but the commentary and guidelines, which are to be passed as part of the bill, I think remove some of the problems you have, and maybe not. And I just wanted to be sure at least you took that into account as you were formulating your own criticisms.
No, we're certainly looking at those, and we will take those into account. I think, Mr. Chairman, given that the committee will be taking this bill up further, my preference would be to really delay any substantive comments until the committee has got our specific line by line analysis in front of it. I think that makes it much easier to go through the bill. And I think it might also make some sense for me to arrange with staff to have Mr. Bollenbach on the line, because I think he is probably more familiar than I am with the technical details of the changes that we would like the committee to consider. So with that, I think I would just make a commitment to stay in touch with staff as to the scheduling for that kind of presentation.
All right, Paul, that's fine. Michael, unless there's anybody else that wishes to testify here before us, we're finished for this morning, and I guess it's like anything else. You sit down, the more dialogue, the better piece of legislation that we're going to have, and that's certainly the intent. intention of House State Affairs to make sure that we are a facilitator, a forum for information exchange. And so there's nothing else from here unless there's some additional comments you would like to add to the record.
No, except to just tell you that every phase that I've participated in has been extremely constructive, and I just think you're undertaking an enormous task, and although I've been a source of pressure, I know, I just think it's been exemplary at both houses, and I think you will end up with a very, very good piece of legislation.
All right, Michael, is there any other comments from any of the committee members? Thank you very much. With that, House State Affairs is adjourned at 10:32. Michael, you might tell your people that we are going to fax that information out as soon as we get it. Representative Red Boucher in Juneau at 7:15 on the 17th day of April 1990. We are continuing to hold hearings on House Bill 596, which is the legislative ethics bill of 1990. We held public hearings last week, and we recognize that this has been moving rather rapidly, but we wanted to make sure that there was an opportunity forward for public input. We've had various people testifying here in Juneau, including Mr. Michael Josephson of the Josephson Institute, which under contract to the Senate has developed ethics legislation. So with that in mind, I understand that there are two people that wish to testify in Anchorage, and they can go ahead. I guess the thing that I wanted to point out is what will happen is there will be two members from both the House and the Senate side appointed by the Speaker and the President of the Senate to review the legislation that is before us and take additional testimony. But as the chair of House State Affairs, and this is Representative Red Boucher, I felt that prior to the actual convening of that conference committee, that it was incumbent upon House State Affairs as an oversight, as the Oversight Committee on Legislation of this nature, to gather together as much testimony as we possibly could. So with that, we'll go ahead to Anchorage, and in whichever order you would care to testify there. Go ahead.
Representative Bowser, can you hear me?
You're coming through fine. Just identify yourself, name, and address for the record.
Yes, sir. My name is Mark. Last name is Rivenbark, Rivenbark. My address is 4011 Ursa Circle, URSA. That's in Anchorage.
Fine. Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Having read the 88-page bill known as House Bill 596, the Legislative Ethics Act of 1990, I would like to make the following comment. First and foremost, let me tell you that in my opinion, this bill is the end product of a $70,000 waste of time. While I'm sure that Mr. Josephson is an honorable and decent man, his writing a code of ethics for a group of individuals, most of whom are older than he is,
you, Mark. Just to answer your question, is it wasn't rolled in. In other words, in essence, the entire package that you see here, House Bill 596, was incorporated from the report that Mr. Josephson made, and that included the salary recommendation in it, sir.
Yes, sir, I'm aware of that. However, in Mr. Josephson's report, he was realistic enough to realize that there would be a lot of opposition to this pay raise, and he even suggested that that possibly that wasn't going to be acceptable, but that a couple of other minor adjustments might be, such as increasing your office allowance and straightening out the per diem arrangement.
Okay, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ed Ehrenhardt?
Good evening, Representative Barbshire. I'm Ed Ehrenhardt, 1043 West 74th Avenue. I certainly admire how Mark did his homework. I have not done mine, so I can't say I read the bill. I read about it in the paper and the Josephson report. But I will echo what Mark said in regards to the bill overall. I'm against its passage at this time, and it's not that I have any complaints about the suggestions on salary, but rather that the whole thing smacks of the type of moves we have with the setting caps on the budget and other things that just don't work. And I would rather not have the public be deceived by a vast arrangement of protection that nobody's going to have time to really keep up with and make sure it functions. I would also echo what Mark said in regards to ethics in general, that you aren't going to through a batch of legalistic maneuvers and bringing the people into the thing, you're just going to get more involvement, more tangled, and it's very unlikely that it's going to improve the performance of the legislature. So, basically, Red, I would say this should be looked over very, very carefully, but not too much time spent on it as you go about finishing this legislative session in good shape and work some time.
Ed, thanks for your to-the-point testimony. I guess one of the things that we have been attempting to do here, there just appears to be a lot of emotionalism that if you pass a piece of legislation, that it's going to improve the picture. I tend to agree with both what you and Mark have had to say. However, we seem to be a victim of, if that's the proper word, of something that is being spread around the nation and in Alaska too, that passing laws will make people ethical. I guess the key thing is there is a lot of momentum. There's been editorials in the newspaper, come on, get something passed, and not a lot of thought given to whether ultimately it would be good law or bad law. So, as I said earlier, what we're trying to do is get as much input to it as we can, because the more input, questions are raised. When it was originally presented to us in its form, we were told to accept it as it was and make no changes to it. And basically, to date, that's what's been done on the Senate side. We believed, as I said earlier, that our responsibility is definitely to hold hearings. If no one comes, well, fine. At least we have provided that opportunity, as well as hearing from the people that are more directly involved in the legislation at this end of the line.
I appreciate that, Red, and I certainly hope that you folks can get the
you very much. Understand from Fairbanks, Irene Payton is online. Irene, would you care to go ahead?
I hadn't really prepared a testimony, but I think maybe I will talk on the other side of this issue for a minute. I'm Irene Payton. My address is Box 80588, Fairbanks. When I hear people say we don't have to legislate ethics, I keep thinking, I wonder why we have the Ten Commandments. So it seems to me that the legislature may indeed need some guidelines to make sure that some of the things that have been acceptable over the years as just politics maybe isn't really acceptable to those of us who sit back here and expect the people that we elect to do the jobs that they're supposed to do and to do it in a way that's their own work rather than being influenced by someone else. And I think that may be what this ethics bill is all about.
Irene, thank you very much. Have you had the opportunity to read the legislation?
I have.
I think one of the feedbacks that we're getting early for you folks that weren't down here to testify, the APOC people are going to testify tomorrow, and there was a concern about overlapping jurisdictions as it relates to campaigns. In other words, the making of another body or committee, if you will, that was doing some of the work that APOC was doing. The Attorney General's office will be testifying later before the conference committee, but their concerns were some of the legislation being in conflict with the Constitution of the state of Alaska. We had the Alaska ACLU here also testifying, expressing constitutional concerns. I think everybody thinks, including the legislature, and I know, having been around in public service for a long time, sometimes it's a little hard. I certainly know what's ethical and what's not ethical. I mean, that guides me through my everyday work. But there are ground rules sometimes that you need a clearer definition of exactly what the law means without having it be interpreted. Because oftentimes you find out in law what is ethical one day, and it's not because of permissiveness, it's simply because of the way the law is written, that the next day you find out that is unethical. So it goes just beyond an individual moral code that the person has, but in beginning to define what you can do and what you can't do, what information staff can give out or what information they can't, what employment you can seek after you leave the legislature. So in this particular concern, I think we need ethics in all levels of life, not just the legislature, but let's say public employees or people charged with public trust in general. And there may be some feeling that in trying to express the philosophy of ethics that some of it is a bit broad and needs to be more clearly defined in law. Just let the record show that Representative Dave Finkelstein is present. I don't know if that added anything, but you might take a look. Like, this sounds kind of silly, but one of the questions that came up is you're out to dinner with a lobbyist, let's say a lobbyist being someone that's interested in legislation, and we deal with that all the time. If he is taking, he or she is taking me to dinner, which doesn't happen very often, they're talking about the dinner and at a fundraising, or at a fundraising event. And it requires that the meal, must be consumed with the person providing the gift. For example, if a lobbyist arranges to have a dinner for you and your spouse bills for the lawyer, that means you've got to eat every bit of food that's on the table. Now, this is kind of stretching the point, but suppose you weren't hungry, you had your salad, and you didn't want to waste the steak. According to this, I mean, if you put that in the doggy bag, and I'm not trying to be funny, you would have violated the law. So there are some things as you take a broad philosophical approach. So I would encourage people to follow Mark's example. Really read the thing and come up with any suggestions that you may have. But that's an example of some of the things that we're running into as we hear testimony and as if the bill is looked at closer. Is there anybody online, any additional people online, any place that would like to be heard?
We have no further testimony from Anchorage.
I think what I will do so that everybody will have an ample opportunity to be heard, and it was advertised, I think, from 7:15 to 9, we will just stand by here for additional people wanting to testify. And if there are any other comments that any of you would care to make, feel free to do so. If either Mark or Ed or Irene, you wanted to add anything to what you originally had to say.
Representative Boucher, Mr. Earnhardt has just indicated to me that you'd like to provide further comments to you.
Go right ahead, Ed. Pieces of legislation on the way through the process. They had been heard in this committee and moved on, and they dealt with the very thing that you're talking about. And it is my hope that they continue. In fact, we have done a lot of work in state affairs in this area, but more specifically, Representative Finkelstein, that has probably been his single greatest concern this year, of getting some good solid legislation through. And he's right here, and he might comment on where we are in that area.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Ed. How are you doing? I am real interested in that. The bill I have is House Bill 327. It's made it through this committee, and it made it through for hearings in judiciary, but it's still there. There's two reasons that it's hard to advance that at this point. The first one is that there's a Senate bill on the same subject by Senator Pershow that accomplishes much of what my bill did. That's in the Senate Rules Committee, and it's hard to get excited about advancing a House bill if the Senate bill looks like it's going to pass soon. And it gets to be a very confusing area because this ethics bill takes a lot of the campaign financing issues that are in those bills and covers them in a different way. And so if we were to pass the campaign financing changes in the ethics bill, this new ethics bill, they would accomplish a lot of what we want to accomplish. And it's hard to separate it out yet and see what else we should accomplish in those. But I haven't given up, and hopefully we will be able to pass that on top of the ethics bill.
Yeah, thank you. I would hope we could go through separate or first or something or other, but and I'm not up to date here on where you're at in the House here with this. But basically, this kind of a gigantic reform, I have no faith in whatever that we're involved here in House Bill 596, and I certainly would prefer that if you worked it out well to get on with either Senator Pershow's or your bill in election reform. The bottom line is the people, and the people tend to elect, even though they know sometimes that people are unethical people to the legislature. And I'm not going to mention names, but this happens. And so we have to have it somehow or other that hopefully the process will improve, that the people who do the electing will be a little more assistance to the legislators and giving them the kind of colleagues to work with that time and money and confusion is not going to come out as it has here with this House Bill 126 and the wonder from California. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed.
Let the record show that we've been joined also by another member of the State Affairs Committee, Representative Alice Hanley.
Representative Boucher, this is the Anchorage moderator. I have another individual who has just arrived and would like to provide testimony before you.
Go right ahead. Just give us your name and address for the record, please. And this is Representative Boucher, Chair of State Affairs, and we're continuing this hearing on the ethics legislation, House Bill 596. Go ahead.
Ron Harmon Vickens, address is 3605 Arctic Boulevard, number 1794, 99503. I've lived in Anchorage since I was 9 years old. Now, I'm really very proud of you all to be thinking about this ethics reform, because I'm afraid, as I've grown up here in Alaska, our image, especially when I was out in the service and traveled the land, we have distinctively a third world image when it comes to ethics. A lot of people make fun of us all over the world for some of the scams that we allow to slide by. There's 60 people in the state
thank you very much, sir, especially for coming down. I wish the room was actually full of people so that we could get more input. And I appreciate your taking the time to come down and let us hear from you.
Thank you very much, sir. It was good to see you last summer, and I hope everything in your future goes well. There's a lot of people rooting for you. Please really give this bill a good shot, because we can't be going on like we've been going on.
I think there's a desire down here, probably one of the things that had happened, I said earlier, just before you came into the room, there's a sense of frustration in the legislature, too. Granted that you do get all types of people into the process, and I think that part of the reason for that, as I have said in the past, is the way we elect our people. I don't think that there are too many 30-second television spots where you have to sit out there and watch this stuff being fed to you like as if you were buying a soft drink instead of more town meeting types of forums that you could really say what you thought, and you weren't restricted by just looking pretty on television or sounding important on radio. If anything, I would like to see if I could be, have one wish, I would tend to tell that we got to do away with these talking heads that people elect out there, that we require that all presentations via radio or television be live, and you had an opportunity to take a good look at us. There's so few opportunities that you have. So I think as we begin to look toward ethics and reform, one of the things is the person only knows what they read in the newspaper or see on television. And as I've come to know the men and women that are down here, by and large, a majority of them fit your category of being very dedicated Alaskans that just enjoy this type of activity. So I think we need to look at the big picture. How are we electing our officials? Through what medium is the public being informed? And are they being informed, or are we packaging our leaders the same as we do cereal and automobiles? And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we've had ever since campaign managers and others came into the scene. Nobody dares do anything until you take a poll. And I've often said that we've become politicians instead of politicians. So I think what we really need to do nationally is take a look at the big picture, insist that candidates be there in debates. It's only been in recent years that the public, I think dating back to the Nixon-Kennedy election, will forwarded the opportunity for a number of debates, and I think that ought to prevail more of that and less of the 30-second commercials that most of the people spend their time trying to look like they've got viable media. And incidentally, part of the cost of these campaigns, I've seen a TV spot go from $50 to $75 up to some of the prime spots now are costing $700 to $750. So that's, as I said, we've got to just take a look at not just the most visible source of the problem, which appears to be the elected official, but also the process which you go through to get elected.
I think you have an excellent point there, sir. A lot of my friends and a lot of old timers have been here for a half century or more. Are really upset about is the disregard for the secrecy laws that we have on the books. Okay. There's a lot of sneaky goings on down there in Juneau, and you can't blame for some of us for trying to move y'all up into where we can get at you.
more than welcome, and thank you for...
Representative Boucher?
Yes. Go ahead. Yes. Thank you for coming down and testifying. Yes, go ahead.
This is Irene Payton again in Fairbanks. I'm not sure what happened just when this meeting started because we tuned in late.
Yeah.
Did you name the people who are on the conference committee, and do you have any information on their meetings?
They will be appointed two members from the House side by Speaker Cotton, or I think, is it three members?
Three members.
There will be two from the majority and one from the minority, and I think the same thing will apply on the Senate side. So there will be six people. I'm certainly hoping that Representative Finkelstein, and I put in my pitch for Representative Hanley, because we have been hearing this legislation for a good portion of the last 90 days or so, and they have a lot of history in it. But as of now, to specifically answer your question, they have not been appointed. I'm hoping that that is done this week. In fact, I think it's essential that it be done this week, and then what the State Affairs Committee will do is simply turn over all of the public testimony and record that we have to that committee and make it available to them.
Thank you.
Is there anybody out there that wishes to testify at any of the stations? If not, we'll just stand by here in Anchorage until there is somebody, and when they come in, simply break in and indicate that they want to testify.